Bolak Tavshin Ayin Zayin should be with the Nishmas. Naomi Ora Bas Rachel, I don't remember her father's name.
Okay.
Okay, if you take a look in Rashi, Perkov Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, that's always the end of the Parsha. Chav Dalet Yud Dalet. This is after Bilam has totally failed in being able to curse the Jewish people. He gave them a bracha. And now he says, in Pasuk Yud, and now, I'm now returning to my nation. Rashi says, I'm returning to my nation as a commoner, because I've shown that I wasn't capable of cursing the Jewish people. Let me give you advice. Asher yaseh ha'am hazeh, right? That which this nation will do to you, right? La'amcha, to your nation, ba'achlis hayomim, in the end of days. So it's a very strange pasuk. L'cha yatzcha, I'll give you an eitzah, I'll give you advice. That which this nation, i.e. the Jewish people, will do to your nation, i.e. to the nation of Moab. This is Bilam speaking here. At the end of days, it's not advice. I'll tell you what they're going to do. It's not advice. So Rashi says, "Asher yaseh am hazeh," right? So Rashi says in the two parts of Rashi, really. Yeah, Rashi says first of all, "L'cha yatzcha, ma'alecha la'asos." I'll give you eights of what to do. Umaya eitza, and what is the eitza? What is the advice? Elokeim shel elu sone zima. The God of these people, hates licentious behavior. Right? Zima is nus.
Right?
The Rashi? It's Rashi, right? L'cho yatzcha. First Rashi, l'cho yatzcha. Sone zima hu. K'nisi b'chelek, like it says in Perek Chelek. Teda, you should know, what do you call it? You know that Shebilam, heisi eitzazu l'achshilim b'zima. Bilam was the one who gave, Moab the Eitzah, the advice to cause the Jewish people to stumble in Midikwa with the Bnos Moab, with the, what do you call it, Bnos Midian, Bnos Moab, with the Znus. Shreinema, Hein, Heina, Hayulav Nei Yisrael, B'dvar Bilam. Later on, right, in Sefer Bamidbar, when, after the Jewish people conquered Midian, etc., so it says that these are the ones, right, when they took captive the women, so Moshe Rabbeinu says these are the ones who were the source of Klal Yisrael's stumbling block according to the words of Bilam. Bilam was the one who gave him the Eitzah. So how do you read the rest of the Pasuk? L'cho yatzcho, and then it shares, Asher yasa am hazeh la'amcha v'achas yamim, that which this nation will do to your nation in the end of days. Oh, you can't read it. So the next Rashi says, Asher yaseh ha'am hazeh la'amcha, mikra kotzahu, ze yatzcha la'achshilam. The mikra is the mikra kotzah, it's abbreviated. In other words, it's left out the part of the sentence, part of the sentence structure. The first thing, the eitzah, is what you shall do. I give you an eitzah of what you should do to them, be machshil them now, to cause them to stumble. Right?
What did they do when they took them captive? They killed them?
That's later on. Yeah, that's what we call, that's a discussion, depending on what we call, how old they were, etc., but that's a different, that's for later. He says, Mikra Kotzeru, Zei Yatzchol Achshilam, V'Oma L'chol Mashein Asidim L'Hora L'Moa V'Archas HaYomim. So really, there are two topics in this one pasuk. The first topic is, I'll give you an Eitzah on how to trip them up here now, and that'll be through Machshilim in Znus. And the second part of the pasuk is, I'm going to tell you what they're going to do to you in the end of days. And then he comes and he tells them, right? He tells them about what's going to take place in the end of days, what he called the destruction of this nation and that nation, and the Jewish people are going to be successful. The Jewish people are going to come out on top.
This is like a reverse revenge.
Right, this is Fruit Loops. Right? It's so clear to him that the Jewish people are going to come out on top. And yet, they go, I'll give you an eitzah, how do we machshil them now? I mean, what are we talking about? If you don't believe, okay, you don't believe. You don't believe that, that this is the right way. You don't believe this is going to come out on top. You don't believe. But he tells them exactly what's going to happen. He gives them a nevuah of how the Jewish people are going to be on the top at the end, right? About that this nation is going to be destroyed, and this one, and this one, and this one. And the Jewish people, like it says, you know, right? Jewish people are being osechayil, right? Jewish people are going to be totally successful. Totally successful. And in the same breath, he tells them how to cause them to stumble now. It's a very bizarre thing. So if you go back now to the beginning of the Parsha, says, when Balak calls out to Bilam, when he sends messengers, he says in Perek Chof Beis, the very beginning of the parsha, Pasuk Hey, he says Vayishlach Malachim El Bilam Ben Beor Pesora. He sent emissaries, Shlichim Malachim, to Bilam Ben Beor. That's Bilam, Pesora, Nanechat's the place where he's from, Asher Alanoa, which is upon the river, Eretz Bnei Amo, Likro Lo, to call him, Lemor, Hine Am Yatami Mitzrayim, behold, the nation has come out of Egypt, Hine Chisa Es Ein Haaretz, it has covered the eye of the land, Hu Yoshev Mimuli, cover the eye of the land. So Rashi says, he saw Ein Haaretz, Sichon Va'og, Shahu Shomri Masanu Amdu Alein V'Hargum. Right? Sichon Va'og. Those were the two, as it were, the two great kings that Kleist destroyed in last week's Parsha. And they were the ones who we thought we were guaranteed that they would guard us. And the Jewish people killed them. They killed him. Now this terminology of chisa es ein haaretz, this is not the first time that we've seen this terminology. We've seen this terminology also in Shmos, in Perek Yud Pasuk Hey, right?
Chisa es ein haaretz?
To cover the eye of the land.
Yeah, that's the ark, right?
Right. It says, as David mentioned, in the Makatsa Arbe, right, the plague of the locusts. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, he says that the Arbe are going to come, Ki ma'enatale shaleach esami, if you refuse to send my people, to let them go, to send them out of your land, hinani mevi machar arbe bigvulecha. I will bring, right, tomorrow, right, Machar, tomorrow bring to you Arbeh, the locusts in your boundaries. The Chisa es Ein Haaretz, and it will cover, right, the view of the land. Lo yuchal l'ros es Haaretz, and you'll not be able to see the land. V'chal es yesra pleitah hanisheres lachem min habarad, and eat whatever was left over, that hadn't been destroyed by the hail. V'chal es kol ha'etz tomeach lachem min hasadeh, and you'll eat all the trees, that grows the trees, minah hasadeh. So it's funny, it's the same terminology. V'chisa es ein haaretz, to cover the eye of the land. To cover the eye of the land.
That's what they said about the locusts.
That's said about the locusts, and it says also now, Balak says to Bilam that this nation has come out of Mitzrayim, and the v'chisa es ein haaretz, and they cover the eye of the land. Cover the eye of the land. So way back when we were learning, Pasha's bow, right, maybe not this past year, whenever it was, talked about the idea of how the Eser Makos in Mitzrayim were meant to strip away the false perception of the Asara Mamoros Shenivra Ola. In other words, the world was created by Asara Mamoros, Asara Mamoros, three statements, Kavyachol, of the Rabbonu Shalom, ten Mamoros, ten sayings of the Rabbonu Shalom, creates the world, right? And the problem is that people have failed, or have totally failed in being able to see Hashem's involvement in the world, how his mamar is the source of creation, and so what happened was is that people were totally detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world. Came along the Eser Makos, and the Eser Makos come to strip away one at a time the cheap shellac that covered over, right, that covered over the pure grain, as it were, of Hashem's mimer in creation of the world. And it started from, right, the last mimer was the one that was kilu dissolved by the first makah, and it goes backwards. Still, when you come to Makas Bechoros, so Makas Bechoros is coming back to Bereishis. Arbe is a Hirakia. There should be a division between the heavens and the earth. Right? The Rakia. Right? The second mimer is Yior. Bereishis is the first mimer. Yior is the second. And the third one is Hirakia. So Arbe came, as it were, to strip away the shellac, as it were, that covered over the pure presentation of Hashem's mimer, which was Hirakia. So I heard many years ago from Moshe Shapiro, Zechatayak Levracha, the idea was, right, again, the Maral talks about this idea of the Asara, Eser Makos, being in parallel to the Asara Mamoros. The Sasemis talks about it, right? And then subsequently the Aseres HaDibros, and once you've cleaned the slate, once you've cleaned the whiteboard off from all of the junk that's been piled up on top of it, so now you write the Aseres HaDibros, comes the Aseres HaDibros post Yetzias Mitzrayim, as it were, and tells you this is really the underlying principle of the entire world. These are the underlying principles. In other words, if you want to put your finger on what makes the world tick, here the Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros. Asar Mamoros, right? Esther Makos to clean off the junk. And then for Klai Yisrael now receives the marching, the beat to which they will march till the end of the day. It's called the Aseres HaDibros. And that is really the ikar of what makes the world tick. Okay? So the idea of the Ein Ha'aretz, was, what was the Rakia for? The Rakia, right, that was on day number two. And it doesn't say Kitov on day number two. And part of the reason they say that it doesn't say Kitov on day number two is because there is this division between the heavens and the earth. And those things will no longer be clear that the heaven is attached to the earth. That is what enables man to have Bechira on the one hand. Right? It distances, it separates the heaven from the earth, and yet gives man the ability to have free will, free choice. Because if everything were clear in your face, then there's no, you don't have any free will. On the other hand, it's a step down. Right? We don't see Hashem's presence in the world in the same way. Right? So there's a necessary fly in the ointment in order for us to be able to have Bechira Chavshis. The Mitzrim, as it were, back in Parshas Bo, the Mitzrim, they were very much enamored of their land. They didn't want to turn their eyes heavenward. Yeah, and though they had to turn to the Creator to give them what they wanted. The Nile overflowed its banks, right, etc., etc., always like clockwork, every year, same time, etc. And they were very much enamored of the lushness of their land as a result of the Nile, and they lived a life that was appropriate for people being absorbed, right, in a world of lush luxury, pleasure, etc. Mitzrayim is called the Ervas Aretz. It's called the nakedness, right, as it were, of the, what do you call it, of the world, right? That's Mitzrayim, the Ervas Aretz, the weak point of the world, the weak point of the world, right, where the world is very decadent, etc. So came along the Arbe, right? Arbe is, it comes in multitudes. In other words, all you want to have is just more and more and more and more and more. You're not thinking about the quality of why am I here, what is my purpose, what's my destiny, where did I come from, etc. Just give me more and more. Whoever dies with the most toys, so that person, he's had a successful life. He's had a successful life. So the Arbe, as it were, Mida Keneged Mida, blocks out the light. You can no longer see the earth. Because there's such a layer of Arba traveling through, right, traveling through the sky, that the sun, the rays of the sun, the light couldn't penetrate to reach the earth. You couldn't see the Oretz. You couldn't see the Oretz. You couldn't see the Oretz. And that was their punishment, Mida Keneged Mida, yeah. Right, for abusing, right, abusing the separation of heaven and earth, which was there only as a means to give them free will.
Not specifically the Egyptians, it was...
But the Egyptians, that was in the punishment of the Egyptians. That was the punishment of the Egyptians. What do you call it? The Egyptians were the masters, like the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Ki Besar Chamorim Besaram. The Zir Masusim Zir Masam. Their whole life was a world of Chomer, of physicality. The whole world was a life of physicality. Physicality, that's it. Physicality. So they didn't want the heavens to be connected to the earth. So if you abuse the separation between the heavens and the earth, which is there only to give you the opportunity or the ability to have free will, then we'll take it away from you. We'll take away all connection of heaven and the earth. The sun's light, the sun's rays will no longer penetrate to even be able to see the land. And it's blocked off by this mass, this horde called the Arbe. Pasuk says about the Arbe, Melech ain la Arbe, vayotzei chotetz kulo. The Arbe has no king, and there is no unifying principle to the Arbe. They're just a horde, mass of them, masses upon masses. There's no unifying principle. It's just like the horde runs here, devours everything. The horde goes there, etc. Fine. Now, in turn, what is really cool? What is Balak saying? Balak. Right, Balak also, right, he says the Jewish people are mechasa the Ein Ha'aretz. They're covering the Ein Ha'aretz. In other words, we have a view of the land that we want to hold on to, and they are blocking that view of the land. They are blocking that view of artsius, of physicality. They're blocking it. We don't want them here. So let's take a look at this Shemi Shmuel. Shemi Shmuel says the first stickle on Tafrei Shain, "Lahavin machshavtam shel Bilam v'Balak, sheberuach piyim v'kilosam yuchu levatel kol mashapolu avos maseim b'vinis kiroseim." They think that we know that he builds the Bilam, what do you call it? Bilam v'Balak. They build mizvachos, altars. Yeah, according to the same number that Avram made, etc. Bring the same sort of korbanos. Like, well, what do they think they're doing? I mean, do they really think they're going to pull this off? And if they believe that the Avos were close to the Rabbona Shalom, right? Close to the Rabbona Shalom, yeah. So then, so wait, how can you? How do you think you can usurp that position? She says, "Hello." Well, it's standard anti-Semitism. I would say it's not. It could be that subliminally, it's the same thing, right? But it's not expressed the same way. They're at least to call the spade a spade. And as we know the greatness of the Avos, we think we can bump them off. Now they just, you know, they say that we're the Nazis of the 21st century, right, etc. But in their heart of hearts,
Hebrew
we
University said that.
What?
Hebrew University, they said that.
Oh, yeah, they said that?
Yeah, some professor at the faculty of social sciences. Communication department, or sociology department, went on ranting about this.
That we're the Nazis in the 21st century.
Right.
Okay. That's,
the farm one, right?
Not David.
Statistics is, pretty safe.
Yeah, it's in social sciences.
Social sciences.
Social sciences. Yeah, I mean, left winger is not the word. I mean, whatever. Anyway, let's not rant and rave over him. In any event, what does he say? Halo bilam ubalak chachomim lahara hayu v'lo tipshim shizbru kazos. The Shem Yishmuel says they were evil people, but they weren't imbeciles. V'od sh'omar shema patenu laKadosh Baruch Hu. And Bilam said, you know, maybe I can seduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu to doing what I want him to do. Was he crazy? He's not an imbecile. He understands what he's talking about, the Rabbon Shalom. How can he convince the Rabbon Shalom of something? Shagam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrat Zilitzeh L'Hachlif HaUma K'dosha Azos Shekiblu Torato Yisbarach B'Umot HaOlam Shomar Bilam Shagadosh Baruch Hu Yeneva Mikol HaUmot K'mevur B'Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah is referring to, right?
But he had looked right. He was a proven cursor, because he cursed Midian. Where did he curse?
Maskim.
He already had good luck.
Maskim 100%. But he also knows the Jewish people, the creme de la creme, right? He knows it's not, you know, all the rest are in the same wrestling ring. You know, you got the Destroyer over here, you got Mr. Moto over there. It's all what he calls, it's all the same chevra, basically. But he knows the Jewish people are like a whole different story here.
Uh-huh.
Right? He knows that they're the real thing. He knows that they are Kedushin. He knows they're attached to their Boshim. What does he think he's going to do? I mean, he smoked his brains out? I mean, what is he thinking? So you take a look there, Hagav, look at the last Vasemis on the page before we continue with Shem Shmuel. Last Vasemis on the page. Omar Adoni Skeni Morizal. Higid ala Medrash Omar Bilam. Tov Lios Navad Me Ayan Umos. The Medrash says that Bilam said to Rabbon Shalom, better you should be served by 70 nations, right? Rather than by one nation. The Medrash says that Bilam said to the Rabbon Shalom, better you should be served by 70 nations rather than be served by one nation. In other words, the idea being, he knew qualitatively that he had nothing to offer the Rabbon Shalom. He knew he had nothing to offer the Rabbon Shalom in place of the Jewish people. But he says, maybe it's better to water down the requirements, and that way you'll get more service from more people. This is very common nowadays also, right? Right? This has been the same story, right? This is Bilam's suggestion, right? This was early Christianity's suggestion, and now sludge streams.
Or what did Christianity say?
Right, also, what do you call it? Let's water it down, and there'll be more people serving God. Right? Water it down. Water it down. Like, why go for excellence? Why go for excellence when you can go for, you know, mediocrity, but you'll get more people? It doesn't stop there anymore. Hold on 1 second. So, at the same time as he's making the suggestion, like the Medrash says, why accept the service? And we'll bring you korbanos, like he was bringing korbanos now, right? And all the nations will bring you korbanos. He sacrificed korbanos to Hashem here in the parsha, right? The same korbanos that Avram brought, the same korbanos that Yitzchak brought, the same korbanos that Yaakov brought, the same number of altars. Basically, the idea is that on the one hand, why go for the service of one nation, albeit a service of excellence, when you can go for a greater quantity of service for the 70 nations? You have to water down the system. And anyway, like it says, he looked out into the desert before he cursed them. So the Chazal say he looked and he was focusing on the Cheta Egel, which is basically the idea being that the Jewish people anyway can't live up to the standards. So why say that, you know, let's go for this whole story of the Jewish people and their form of service to you, right? All be very excellent, but first of all, they can't live up to the standards anyway, as we see the Cheta Egel. Now this is, once again, this is also a theme that's come back, you know, throughout the ages. The Greeks, many, many, many years later, thousands of years later, the Chazal say that the Greeks said, in the Medrash says, Kisu lachem al keren hashor, she'en lachem chelek v'elokei Yisrael, right upon the horn of the ox, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. That's what they said to the Jewish people. The idea of the horn of the ox referring to the angel. You yourselves weren't able to live up to your what do you call your expectations. So there's no point, as it were, in your claiming that you're the elite, you're the chosen people, but you yourselves don't live up to it. So that basically is the theme here also in the time of Bilam, in a different fashion, obviously. It's not the same as the Greeks. Yeah, that's a whole different story. But the idea being that you can't live up to your expectations, or what you claim are God's expectations for you, and therefore, says Bilam, better let's go for 70 nations that can serve, where they'll give all sorts of sacrifices, let's water it down, and it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So there's a last Fasemis there that it says on the page. Yeah, there's a Fasemis from Tuf Reish Lamed Beis. He says, Adoni Aviskeni Mori Yigida Medrash Omer Bilam Tov Lios Neva Be'ayin Uma Fehishim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tov Pascha Reva, right? Mibayas Male Riv, right? It's better some dry bread, which the Medrash says is a reference to the different Menachos. Better Pascha Reva than Pasuk says in Mishlei, the Medrash brings it down. To Pascha Reva v'shalva ba mibayis male zivchei riv. To Pascha Reva, better dry bread, right? Dry bread v'shalva and peace and tranquility, rather than bayis male zivchei riv, a house full of sacrifices, right? Of sacrifices of riv, of argument. So the I would just say Derech Agav. The Medrash says that the first part, the Pascha Reva, is referring to different menachos, different meal offerings. Zevach, that's shlomim. Shlomim, we know what is unusual about the shlomim korban is that part goes on the mizbeach and part goes to the owner, right? He gets to eat from it.
Well, he can't bring shlomim. All those things, he can't bring shlomim.
Oh, okay, right. He gets part of it. The menachos, the meal offerings. The Netziv says that the meal offerings were brought for tikkun amidos. Tikkun amidos. In other words, when a person felt that certain menachos had to bring because of a chiyuv, but menachos in general were brought, if you gave it as an adava, you brought it in order to, as it were, to rectify certain deficiencies in your midos. So what the Medrash is saying is that the Rabbi Shimon replied to Bilam, right? You guys, right? You want to serve, you claim you'll serve me. But I know your agenda is really you don't want to serve me. You're serving me is just a means to serving yourselves, right? Right? You want to manipulate me. You'll say you'll bring korbanos.
Right.
This is the Rabbon Shalom speaking. In other words, Bilam come again, Gubs, the Medrash says that Bilam says to the Rabbon Shalom, why do you want to be served by one nation? Be served by 70 nations. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers in the Pasuk in Mishnah, Tov Pas Charev V'Shalva Ba Mibayis Malei Ziv Cheriv. I'm saying that the idea being that the Medrash says that the Pascha Reva is referring to are different menachos, different meal offerings. So I'm saying based upon the Netziv, the purpose of the menachos is to fix one's midos. That means you're real, your affect, the way you really relate to things. Fix those. What typifies the shlamim is that in the end the owners get to eat some of the flesh. So I'm saying he's using that as a model. As Rabbi Shimon says back to Bilam, what you're offering, this service of the 70 nations as opposed to one nation, but those 70 nations and the way you want to serve me is only just to further your own causes, right? Right? You want to further your own cause. You'll serve me in order that I'll give you what you want. You never leave the egocentric universe. You never plan to leave the egocentric universe. Even if you humble yourself, it'll only so that you can say how great you are that you humbled yourself. If you hear what I'm saying. As opposed to the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people are not like that. They're not like that. They're not going to humble themselves in order to say how great they are that they humble themselves. The goal of their humbling themselves is to humble themselves more. You hear what I'm saying? Are we on the same planet? I remember we talked about many times. We talked about the idea of with the Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze that contrasts, yeah, the dream of Paro and the dream of what he called of Yaakov. In the dream of Yaakov, Yaakov dreams, and Hashem is nitzav alav. He stands above him. In Paro's dream, Paro is all made aliyor. He stands above the Nile. The Nile is his deity. So as the Medrash, look at the difference between the Tzadikim and the Rishoyim. Tzadikim, right? Elokeim omed aleim, by the Tzadikim, God is above them. By the Rishoyim, heim omdim al Eloheim. In other words, the bottom line is, and this comes in so many different manners, shapes, and forms, yeah? The bottom line is that the goal of the Jew is to live in a totally God-centric universe. It's all about the Ribbono Shalom. It's all about my being mevatel myself to the Ribbono Shalom. Humbling myself before the Ribbono Shalom. Because really that's the only game there is in town. There is no other game. He's the only objective reality. But when a person in the world of free choice decides, as it were, to leave the egocentric universe and to place himself in a God-centric universe, then he has been successful in translating this world, right, into ruchnius. Whereas the idolater, he's willing to serve whatever God you'll give him to serve, just as long as at the end of the day, the God will give him what he wants. He never wants to leave his egocentric universe. He says, look at what the Sfasemis there at the bottom says. He's af shekol umatitein kocha lachnia laKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though every nation in the world will say, you know, we will humble ourselves, yeah, our strength before HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Emes is saying this now?
Yes, the bottom Sfasemis there. We're from Tuf Reish Lamed Beis. In the name, right? Adoni Avi Skeni Morizal. He's referring, he's quoting his grandfather, Chedush Arim. He says, but mikol makom, Eina be'emes, when they're willing to humble themselves, it's not for real. Everything they do is only for themselves. Everything they do, even the good things they do it for themselves. He pretended to be machni himself. The Omar, he said, he said to Balak, if you'll give me all of your house filled with gold, I won't be able to go against, the will of the Creator. Right? In other words, he wants to show, if you give me all of your gold and silver, which is what I want, but I won't be able to go against the will of God, who's close to me. So he's on the one hand, he's showing what he really wants, which is the gold and the silver, and on the other hand, he's schmitzing, God talks to me. God talks to me. So even his statements of, I can't, or it's not, are all laced with showing his real agenda, which is all about himself. But his main agenda is all about himself. Like Chazal say in Avos, right? Bilam's students have got a ruach gavoa, right? A nefesh rechava and an ayin ra. So I said it backwards. Like ayin ra, right? Like ayin ra. When they look at what someone else has, by the devil they have that. Yeah, right. Ruach gavoa, right? They're haughty. They see themselves. They've got their thumbs personally permanently super glued to the suspenders, right? And a nefesh rechava, they just want to gather in more and more for themselves. Those are the Talmidim, like it says in Perakei and Avos, when it contrasts the Talmidim of Avram Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. The two Batei Medrash, the two ways to live in the world, the two ways to approach the world. Either to look with a crooked eye at whatever somebody else has, or look by Ayin Tova, like Avram Avinu, because everything is from their Ribbono Shel Olam. So he looks with a good eye at what everybody else has, because that's what Hashem wants them to have.
Bilam was finally killed when he went to go try to collect his money from
Midian, right,
and he was got involved with the war.
Right, that was later. Right.
That was later. But that's sort of his only true intention.
Yes, right. Right. Okay. So you got to go back to the Shem Yishmuel on the top. It says, because Venera, right? In the second, right? The second little paragraph there in the Shem Yishmol. Venira, the first one line is Venira. Venira inyan. Dinei b'medrash rabba agarshenu min ha'aretz. What does it mean? That when Bilam says, or Balak says to Bilam, v'agarshenu min ha'aretz, I want to chase them away from the land. Eini v'vakesha l'garshem l'shali konsu la'aretz. Right? He brings from Chazal that my intention is that they shouldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael. Why? They weren't going to conquer his land. He doesn't want them to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Why not? L'chor einu muvan, ma ichbas le Balak. Why should Balak care? They're not going to conquer his land, they're going to their land. Halo lo ala Moavim halchu. They didn't come to attack the Moavim. Umayinen lo imikonsu la'aretz olo. What do they care if they go into Eretz Yisrael or not? Achinei tachlis hakavona shavo Yisrael, right, la'aretz hishiyakaimu amitzos hatluyos ba'aretz. The goal of entering into Eretz Yisrael is to be mekayim, is to fulfill the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. Umize yizdakech gam achomer shiba'aretz v'yizkadesh kol kadur ha'aretz. In other words, the difference between the Jewish people, right, and this spiritual notion, right, that Bilam and even Balak are trying to promulgate, right, to spread, right, they're trying to spread. The difference is, can you transform? Is Olam Hazeh something to be transformed into Kedusha? Or is Olam Hazeh you meant to live, right, a schizoid existence? Olam Hazeh you live to the hilt, right? And we'll serve the God, we'll serve God, right? So we'll show, we'll do Hail Tutski, right? We'll serve him, and then he'll give him an everlasting, he'll give us reward, yeah, for recognizing his greatness. He'll give us reward to our souls after we shuffle off the mortal coil. But there's no translation, right? There's no translation of Olam Hazeh to Kedusha. Olam Hazeh is meant to be lived like Olam Hazeh. Party hard, play hard, right?
The opinion of
Balak and Bilam, right? Let's party hard, let's play hard, yeah, we'll work hard, right?
They want to define what reality should be.
Right, that's what it is about. And we'll serve God, we'll say we believe, I believe, in God we trust. In God we trust. And then, when it comes to sinners, our souls will go to Miracle on 34th Street. Right? Our souls will go to Miracle 34th Street. Yeah, with the angels, right? Ukemosha kosev Adoni Mori Varavi Arim Zatzal Migur Ashamayim Shamayim LaHashem V'Arz Natan Livnei Adam. When the Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Hallel, Ashamayim Shamayim LaHashem V'Arz Natan Livnei Adam, is to do what? To turn the arts into Shamayim. The heavens already Hashem's. He gives the earth to man to turn the earth into heaven. The kavonish yasam yart shamayim umuvan shaz kol shefa hayakulo kadosh. If the Jewish people were to enter into Eretz Yisrael and to keep the mitzvot hatluyos ba'aretz, there'd be such a transformation of the land of Eretz Yisrael. The physicality of Eretz Yisrael becomes so holy that now that's going to spread to the rest of the world. If you remember correctly, we talked about the idea that there are three, as it were, sanctuaries in existence. There's a sanctuary of time called Shabbos. There's a sanctuary in life, the life in life existence called the souls of the Jewish people.
It's Shabbos.
Right? Shabbos is time, right? The sanctuary of life itself are the souls of the Jewish people. And there's a sanctuary in place.
That's the Beis HaMikdash.
Beis HaMikdash.
That's souls.
No, souls is souls is souls, and Beis HaMikdash is Shabbos is Shabbos. One is time, one is space, and one is the circuit board of all of everything, which is life itself, which is the souls of the Jewish people. So now, the way the world is designed, since all the shefa, all the bounty, all the plenty is meant to come down from Shemayim and come to the Makom HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael, and from there spread out to the rest of the world. That's the way it's supposed to work. If the Jewish people were to sanctify Eretz Yisrael, to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and take their system, which is a system of translating Olam Hazeh, into ruchnius, then the result is that none of us will be able to live the sort of life we want to live afterwards. Because the world, we got the wrong plug. Right? It's like you show up in Europe with a bladed, you know, or in Eretz Israel with a bladed plug instead of a round plug. You can't do anything with it. Nachon? You can't do anything with it. You can't get your blasted plug into the socket. So if the Jewish people are successful going into Eretz Israel, that's the reason for Garshenu Min Oretz. I don't want them to go into Eretz Israel. If they go into Eretz Israel and they're successful and transforming into Eretz Israel is such a lofty thing, then that'll be the end of our lifestyle. They are mechase es ein ha'aretz. They're going to cover over, they're covering over our view of the land, what the land is about. The land is about arts, it's about physicality. That's the difference. Yeah, that's the difference. Sfasemis also says. Sfasemis, to bring the name of the Baal Shem Tov.
This is a classic story.
Right? Here's the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov says the Mishnah in Avos, right? Remember we said it compares in Perakeh. It compares the Talmidim, the students of Avram Avinu with the students of Bilam. Right? With the students of Bilam. The students of Bilam. Now, and what does it say? It says, look at the difference between the Talmidim, right? Kol Mishyesh Vyodo. This is in Parakei, Mishnah Yutes, in Mikvot and Avos. Kol Mishyesh Vyodo, Shloshet Varm Halolo, Mitalmidim, Talmidim Shal Avram Avinu. Person has got these three Midos, he's from the Talmidim Avram Avinu. Right? Mishloshet Varm Achir, I mean, there's three other things, he's Mitalmidim Shal Bilam Arashi, he's from the students of Bilam Arashi. Ayin tova, v'ruach nemucha, a good eye, looking at what someone else has, ruach nemucha, a lowered ego, etc. Not a lowered self-concept, a lowered ego, yeah? V'ruach nemucha, v'nefesh shvela, and a nefesh, a system of wanting which is reduced, which is, yeah, not, you know, at 10,000 RPMs, yeah? Nefesh shvela, mitalmidei shel Avraham Avinu. These are not talmidei Avraham Avinu. Ayin ra, to look with a bad eye. Yeah, ruach gavoa and a haughty self-concept, and a nefesh rechava and a desirous approach to the world. He's a talmidim shel Bilam Arasha. Says the Mishnah. What do you call ma bein talmidim shel Avram Avinu talmidim shel Bilam Arasha? What's the difference between the students of Avram Avinu and the students of Bilam Arasha? Time out. Say it. Okay, that's a good question. Let's see what it says. My ben Talmidim shel Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim shel Bilam Arasha. Talmidim shel Avraham Avinu ochlim ba'olam hazeh v'nochlim ba'olam haba. The students of Avraham Avinu, they eat in this world v'nochlim ba'olam haba, and they inherit olam haba. Shneimar l'hanchil o'av ayesh. Yeah, to give over inheritance of those who love me, yesh, being. V'otosei ma'amalei, I will fill their storehouses. Amal Tamidah shall bilam arasha yorshim gehenim v'yordim lever shachas. Right? But they inherit gehenim and they go down to an empty pit. Shneem ratah lukim torgen lever shachas anshe damu mirma loyech tzimeim v'ani yeftach bach. Right? The Hashem bring them down to a barren pit, people of blood and deceit. They will not live out half their days, and I will place my trust in you. Ask yourself. Right? You said it yourself. You already told me the difference is. These guys are creeps, and the other ones are tzaddikim. What do you have to say in the Mishnah? Ma bein. But it's obvious. Says the Baal Shem Tov, he says, you know what it's going to tell you? That they're ochlim ba'olam hazeh, that's what it says about the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu, they're ochlim ba'olam hazeh, they eat in this world, v'nochalim ba'olam haba. Nochalim, he says, is a lashon of a nachal, of a stream. The way they eat in Olam Hazeh, from there flows their Olam Haba. Their Olam Haba flows from the way they eat in this world. Why? Because the Jew, what his job description is, to transform everything in this world from just being something physical into being something that's what he called, that's colored and filled and suffused with ruchnius, with kedusha. That becomes his Olam Haba. Because what is Olam Haba? Right? But all the Mekubalim teaches Olam Haba is guf together with nefesh. It's the guf together with the soul. It's the guf together with the soul. But the only way you can have the guf together with the soul is if you transform the guf into something holy along with the soul. And the only way you can do that is by living, Olam Hazeh, in the pattern, in the mold of Avraham Avinu, not in the mold of Bilam. Even if you bring a million korbanos, right? Even if you'll say that you claim that you're humble, but the end is only just to be able to show how humble you are, right? Yeah, self-praise stinks, as they say. Yeah? Right? Where a person is pretending to be, I'm such a tzaddik, etc. I'm so humble, I humble myself. But it's all just to elevate your own ego. But to get what you want, for you to be on the top, you never transform anything in Olam Hazeh. So maybe you might even have engaged in spiritual acts, as it were. But since it was always only about you, you didn't transform this world. All these things now that people want to do, they want to enjoy this spirituality. That's what works for them. It's right out of the base medrash.
I hear that. They want to walk on the beach.
Whatever. Right? We'll play, we'll play spiritual music on Shabbos, right? As we're sipping wine and smoking a joint, right?
Spirituality.
Right? What gives us tingles is we'll go do something. Does that Hashem want? It doesn't mean what Hashem wants. It's what I want. It's what I want. We're going to make God over in the image of man. So on that, there is no flow from what was done in Olam Hazeh to become Olam Haba. That was the goal. That was the goal So it's not that he was stupid. It's not that they were stupid. They actually thought that they could offer the Ribbon Shalom a different deal. The Jewish people anyway, we see they were nichshol. Right, they were initially, what do you call it, the Cheta Egel, or the Chatoim. They don't always live up to the standards that, what do you call it, that supposedly they claim to have set for themselves, or that the Creator set for them. And we can offer so much more. We can offer a much broader deal. Right? We'll be willing to, we'll live our life the way we live our life. But we'll sacrifice to God. We'll say we in God we trust. We'll declare our obedience, to the Creator, da 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 da, etc. What's wrong with that? Isn't that better? Says Rabbi Shalom, no. I'd rather have what he called the Jewish people who are struggling, as it were, to sincerely humble themselves before me, even though they may fail upon occasion, right? Or more than on occasion. But they're struggling to do that rather than to go for a sham, right? A fake, false, pretentious, service where you claim you're doing this and claim you're doing that and claim you're doing the next thing, but really it's all just about yourself. Because then you never can transform your experience in this world into the Olam Emes. And that's really what man was created for, was to transform, his journey through the prose door called the hallway called Olam Hazeh into his Olam Haba. And that's why Balak said, right, I want to chase them out of the land. I don't want them to enter Eretz Yisrael, because once they enter Eretz Yisrael, then the system of the world is going to change. Right? And then I'm finished. Then it's done. It's a done deal already. I don't want them to go into Eretz Yisrael. That was his wish. And Bilam's, right? Bilam was trying to substitute, right, a different form of service of Hashem, etc. Baruch Hashem, we know that Kosh Baruch Hu, as it were, didn't listen to Bilam's klolas. Instead, we got a bracha out of the deal, Matovu Alech Yaakov, and all the other things that Bilam says about it. Hashem should protect us.
Can you just review it again? Shabbos is time.